Welcome to the gospel meeting. Can we start by singing number 14? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Number 14. I would like to read a verse out of the Bible. It's Proverbs 25. And verse 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. We're not going to be reading a lot of verses here because I can't see out of my right eye. Satan does not want the gospel preached tonight. But there is good news to be given out. And that good news is that the Lord Jesus came in this world to die for your sins. And if you're a sinner tonight, you can be saved. Let's ask for help. Our Father, we just give thanks for another opportunity to give forth the gospel. We thank Thee that it's not our idea, but it is good news from a far country. It is the plan of salvation. It is that plan that was devised before the world became in existence. That our God and Father, Thou would send Thy Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our substitute, to be our Savior, to die for our sins. Ones that all we do is sin and come short of Thy glory. And to have fellowship with us, Thy desire, our Father, to have fellowship with us. But Thou, being a holy God, could not have fellowship with the sinner without that redemption work on the cross of Calvary. We just pray to make the message simple. We just pray that the Holy Spirit would work in this room and would make any sinner feel their need of a Savior. We ask this in Thy precious name. Amen. I'd like to sing number 14. Man of sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Tonight, I'd like to read a verse in Isaiah 1 and 18. Tonight, you might have been invited into this room. You don't really know what's going on. But here we're having a gospel meeting. That's the good news that the Lord Jesus came into this world to be the Savior of sinners. And as it's been said, He's not in the manger anymore. He's not in the cross anymore. He's not in the grave anymore. He's on high at His Father's right hand. And He's a real man, the man Christ Jesus. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. And there's an invitation to talk in Isaiah 1 and verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as like crimson, they shall be as wool. Tonight, God wants to reason with you tonight. He wants to discuss His plan with you. You know, I talk to some people, they don't believe there's a God. You know, it's on my heart tonight that maybe there's someone in this room and you're philosophical. And you don't want to accept anything on face value. You're even questioning the Word of God. And tonight, I want to talk to you for a second. It says in Hebrews, let's just look at that one verse. In Hebrews chapter 11, I believe there's a verse that says that He is a rewarder of to believe, you have to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Tonight, verse 6, thank you. You have to believe that God is. Tonight, if you don't believe that God is, there's a problem. He wants to show Himself to you. And you know, there was a story in Acts, and I'm going to try to read that. In Acts, Mars Hill, isn't that Acts 17? In Acts 17, Paul deals with some people like maybe you are. And he takes them through these gods that they're worshiping, these idols. And there's one that's named the unknown God. And that's who he wants to declare unto them. And that's who we want to declare to you tonight, is that unknown God who you do not know as your personal Savior tonight. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, maybe you say, well, I don't believe in any God. You know, there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick, it's alive, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and as a discerner, the thoughts and intents of the heart. It shows that man has a spirit, a soul, and a body. It says the joints and marrow. The joints and marrow is your body. There are three parts to your being. And in Genesis, it says that God made man in his own image. God made man in his own image. Every one of you is made of a spirit, a soul, and a body. And the Word of God says that God says all souls are mine. And you have a never-dying soul. And you know, I have a lady that I've talked to about this, and she said when she heard that my father-in-law passed away and heard that my sister-in-law passed away a couple weeks ago, she told my wife that you probably were happy before you were in this world, and you probably are happy when you leave this world, and it probably isn't that bad to die. That is a lie of the devil. I told her, I said, you want to believe that you die like a dog. And if you think that way tonight, I can prove that's not true logically. The dog is not having that discussion with himself. He is not trying to reason that out. The Lord wants to reason with you tonight. He wants to knock sense in you. You have a spirit, a soul, and a body. Tonight, you know that there's three questions that you can ask any individual. And I remember our brother Bob Brimlow. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? Those are three questions you can ask anyone, and they all have those three questions in their mind. And it bothers people that everyone wants to know where they're going. We do not die like a dog. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. You have to believe that God is. It says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Tonight, God would like to give you the gift of faith. It says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, He wants to give you the faith to believe. Tonight, you don't have to do anything. You have to surrender your will to His will. That's all it is tonight. Tonight, it's surrendering your will to His will. It's not my way anymore, it's His way. God has a plan for you. I believe it says in Psalm 139, it talks about, it says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, God has your best blessing in mind. God loves you. God wants to bless you. You know, I'm going to take a parenthesis off of this chapter. when you stand up on this pulpit, it probably does the person who's standing here more good than anybody else in the audience. It is a privilege to stand up here. You have to spend about 3 or 4 hours in your hotel room walking up and down that sidewalk saying, "Search me, O God, and see if there's a wicked way in me." There's about 4 texts that I needed to send out to people that I do business with that may not know that I know the Lord is my Savior. I couldn't stand the thought of giving the gospel in this room and those people, if I really believe what I'm saying, and the Lord is coming tonight, or they could pass away, that they could go to hell, and I never told them. This is serious stuff. Serious stuff. Serious. Serious stuff. Is there anybody in this room that knows somebody that they haven't told how to be saved? Paul said he was guilty of the blood of no man. I can't say that about me. If we really believe this to be true, we wouldn't keep it to ourselves. If you were invited into this room, you were invited because someone cares about you. But you know, my love for you or that friend's love for you is nothing like the love of God. I'm going to tell you a story. About 6 weeks ago, I landed in Calgary, Alberta. Had a taxi cab driver take me to my hotel. The man was a Muslim man. Decided I would ask him if he had any spiritual values to start a conversation. Let me give you the Reader's Digest version. He said, "Sir, do you not understand that God is holy? Do you not understand that you're a sinner and God will have to punish you for all your sins? This is why I try to live very good. Because God will put me in hell until I pay for all my sins." There is a large part of this world's population that believes that. It is so sad. I debated with him. I quoted scriptures with him for 2 hours. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I told him I got to go to bed. I said, "You are right and I'm wrong, or I'm right and you're wrong, but both of us can be right." I said, "There's a verse in the Bible in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." My friend, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus. He said, "Sir, I can't do that." I said, "Let me ask you a question. When you put your head on your pillow, do you have peace?" He said, "I never have peace." "You can't have peace." I said, "When I put my head on my pillow, if I was to die tonight, I have perfect peace with my God. Because my sins have been paid for. The punishment has been paid by the Lord Jesus. He took the punishment for me." No, the man did not get saved. But I hope those verses go over and over and the Spirit of God works in his heart. I said, "Have you not heard of a substitute?" You know, my friend, tonight you have to have a substitute. It says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." If you don't have a substitute, everything that man said is true. But tonight I have a substitute. My substitute is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went to the cross of Calvary to bear my sins in his own body on the tree. He said, "We don't believe that there's 3 parts of God." But, he said, "What kind of father would give his son to die on a cross?" He repeated 3 times, What kind of father would put his son on a cross to die for my sins? God. God did that. God punished the Lord Jesus for me. Can you say that? You have to take your place as a sinner tonight for him to be your substitute. Do you understand the love of God? I don't understand it. I just have to accept it. Are you humble enough to just accept what God says about you? He says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's all. That's not just me and a couple other people in here. That's everyone. We've all fallen short. He says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Are you going to let the God of this world, it says, hath blinded their eyes that they should not obey? The God of this world hath blinded their eyes. That's Satan. Satan does not want you to believe. I can read now. The context somehow got back in there. Acts 17. Let's turn to Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 22. Then Pilate and Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Do you realize that tonight? That he gives you the very breath that you have tonight. Nothing that you have, you're in control of. You may think you're in control. I might think I'm in control. I'm not in control. Verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after them, and find them, though he be not very far from every one of us. Let's turn to Isaiah 55. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry about it, just listen. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He's very near tonight. Tonight, the Lord Jesus is near. You can just bow your heart and say, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. That's all you have to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's easy. Surrender your heart. You know, sometimes when we pray, we bow our knees and we get down. You don't have to bow your knees and get on the ground and pray. You can just bow the knees of your heart. Just surrender your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. You do not have to wait till the end of the meeting. You can be saved right now. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Another question that people ask is, if God is so loving, why won't he just accept me the way I am? And if God is so loving, why does he allow bad things to happen to good people? These are all questions that get asked. I don't have all the answers to that. But God is holy and he cannot have sin in his presence. Someone has to pay for sin. God cannot look on sin. God forsook the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't look on him when he bore my sins. God cannot look on sin. It said he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God made Jesus to be sin so that I could be righteous. And you could be righteous tonight. Let the wicked forsake his way. You have to repent. You have to admit that you are a sinner tonight. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Thinkers, listen. Verse 8, you might be thinking your way out of getting saved. You say, what are you talking about? You're reasoning your way, the reasoning mind. The gospel is very reasonable. But Satan wants you to just reason your way right through this gospel meeting. Because there's always going to be another gospel meeting. You can wait. Satan uses all kinds of tricks. What does it say here? Verse 8, my thoughts are your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You have to set your thoughts aside. If your thoughts are not framed by the Word of God, they're not good. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The Word of God is amazing. I did not know what I was going to talk about tonight. I walked down that sidewalk, and there was a gospel tract sitting on a bench that I read. I don't think it was given out by anybody in this room. A simple way how to get saved. There's a reason why the gospel is going forth to every end of this world, into places that it's never gone to before. Time is running out. Behold, I come quickly. Men do not have an excuse. When you leave this room tonight, you'll have no excuse. I know it's repeated. I know Ernie Wakefield said it. I believe it's so true. It helped me understand judgment. He said the road to hell is blocked with a cross of Christ. You have to look up at that cross and say, no, I will not have you as my Savior. It's not the way the world looks at it. That God is a mean God with an iron pipe waiting to do evil to you for stepping out of line to punish you. No. God is love, but God is holy, and God must judge sin. You can be a sinner tonight and have the Savior take all that judgment away. A Savior is somebody who saves you from something. If someone is to save you from drowning, He kept you from drowning. Tonight, you can be kept from an eternal death. You know, that lady in my office thinks that when you die like a dog. But it's the second death. You know, it talks in Revelation about the second death. The second death, there'll be a resurrection from the dead. And I get this mixed up, from the dead and from among the dead. But those people believe that they're going to die like a dog, but they're going to be raised again and judged. And they're going to be judged by the man with the nail prints in his hands. It says he committeth all judgment to the Son. That's what it says in John. He's committed all judgment to the Son. The very man that hung on the cross of Calvary will judge you for your sins because you would not have Him as your Savior. You don't have to understand everything I'm saying tonight. You don't have to understand anything, really, that's in the Word of God. All you have to do tonight is say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. It's simple. It's a surrender of your will. That's what it is. Let's turn back to Acts. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. You know, every culture in this world has some kind of a religion, for the most part. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I speak reverently, but God became a man. Jesus was God with skin on. It says the Word was dwelt among us, was flesh and dwelt among us. God became a man. That's mystery of all mysteries. God become a man. Can you grasp that for a second? That God became a man. And Jesus is God. And Jesus is still a man. And he's ascended into heaven. And he's still a man. God became a man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's amazing. That's the only way. It says, once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's the only way that redemption could be accomplished. The only payment for our sins. Other than that, it was death. The Muslim man would be right if that did not happen. Verse 30, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Tonight, we plead with you, be saved. It says, commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You know, have you ever watched a fire with firemen around it? They're not passive. They're not passive. They're saving lives. They're not passive. They don't say, if you'd like, just come out of the house. The house is burning. You come out, or we're going to go get you out. But you know, tonight, God will not force His love upon you. He will not force His love upon you. You don't have to believe tonight. You don't have to. But there's a warning if you don't believe. If you don't believe, you will suffer loss. You will suffer pain and agony. You will go to hell. And you will spend forever in hell for your sins. Like that Muslim man. He said, when I've paid for all my sins, then I will get to go to heaven. You will never be able to pay for all your sins. There is no way. God knows that there's one way. Because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man. That's the Lord Jesus. By that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. What are other excuses that people wouldn't believe? Well, we don't believe because maybe just a bunch of people, they wrote the Bible and it's not really the Word of God. Well, the Bible has about 40 different authors. It was written over about a 1,500 year time. And none of it contradicts each other. It was penned by the Spirit of God. Different writers, many of them were just ordinary men and women that by the Spirit of God penned the Word of God. And it all speaks of Him. It all speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And somehow. You know, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel had to have a sacrifice. I told this man the story. I don't understand the Muslim faith very well, or I wouldn't have made a fool of myself. But anyway, we went through the story of Genesis 22. I said Isaac, he said Ishmael. Okay, but the Word of God says Abraham and Isaac. There was, when sin was committed, there had to be blood shed. Did those animals' life pay for the sins? Absolutely not. But it put it on hold, looking forward to the perfect sacrifice that was going to happen. The Lord Jesus' death on the cross paid for all those sins, past and future. Once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin. One sacrifice. In Hebrews, it talks about the new versus the old. They did it daily. He did it once. Because His blood put the sin away. Because He was the only perfect, spotless, holy Lamb of God. What do you mean by Lamb of God? Well, that's what Scripture says, because He was submissive. He didn't fight. He willingly went to the cross. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He glorified His Father in doing it. And as we heard, God was so happy with His Son, He wanted to have a whole family of sons just like that. He wanted to have a family, but He couldn't have fellowship with you because of your sins. God cannot have fellowship with man because sin came into the world and it broke that communion. And the only way He can have fellowship with you is if your sins have been paid for by the blood of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus. There's no other way. And He walked through this world. He became a man. And He walked this world for 33 years. And you know, all the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, as terrible as they are, it says He was more marred than any man, and His form more than the sons of man. You know, several years ago, I had to take an employee to an emergency room in Columbus, Ohio. I have never seen anything like what I saw. There was a man on a stretcher, and I could not tell what his face was. He had been beaten, it looked like, with a pipe. And I looked at him and I thought, the Lord Jesus' face was more marred than that. Can you imagine the hatred that you are capable of doing? That, do you know the hatred of your own heart? You know, I tend to read a little bit about that Kim guy in North Korea quite a bit. Do you know that your heart is just like his? Just like Adolf Hitler, it is capable of doing the worst possible anything. None of us know our heart. It says, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. You can't know your heart. You wouldn't want to know the depth of your hearts. Your hearts, just like yours and mine, nailed Him to that cross. But you know, all that suffering did not pay for my sins. God forsook His Son. God forsook the Lord Jesus. You know those words were read or quoted yesterday? They're amazing words in the Word of God. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Just think about that. That's a question. Why hast thou forsaken me? Can you say for me, The reason why he was forsaken is for Chet Sester. Was he forsaken for you? God had to forsake his son because he was holy. To have a relationship with me, he had to punish his son for my sins. For me to be reconciled back to God. Tonight, you can be redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. You can be redeemed. You know, I'm kind of an old-fashioned guy, but I remember when they said redeem meant bought back. He owns me by creation. But I've took my way, and if I'm not saved, I have a different master. If you're not saved tonight in this room, you have a different master. And your master is Satan. And he wants to buy you back. Remember that little story? That little boy, he lost his boat. And he made that boat. And he knew that boat was special to him. And he saw it in the window of a store. And he had to be given some money from his parents to buy his own boat back. That's just a little feeble story. It was his boat, but he lost his boat. God has done everything to buy you back to himself. You, like that prodigal, have gone a wandering. You've let your heart take you wherever you want. You do not want lines. I sat down next to a man with the U.S. military, and he said, you know, he goes, I like living in Texas. He goes, at least they got some lines there. He says, you know, this country, he goes, there's no lines. There's no lines. There's no right and wrong anymore. I said, you know, they're throwing the Word of God out. Those lines were in Genesis. That's where it started. God created man in his own image. He breathed in him breath of life. Created male and female. There's a lot of the Word of God is thrown out. Tonight, will you believe? Can you just surrender your life to the Lord Jesus tonight? Can you just bow the knees of your heart? Hell's a real place. The Word of God talks about it a lot. If you die in your sins, you will go to hell, my friend. I don't want you to go to hell. I can't stand the thought that there'd be one person in this room that would go to hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. He commands you to repent tonight. Let's commend ourselves. Our God and Father, we just pray that there'd be a soul in this room that would have the humility to bow their knees of their heart and accept Thee as their Savior. Accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior tonight. We just pray they might come with all their sins, not wait, not try to redo a rebuild, just come as they are. And we just thank Thee that Thou art a loving God. We thank Thee that Thou didst send the Lord Jesus. Thou art a giving God. Thou didst give everything that Thou couldst give. Thine only begotten Son. We thank Thee that for God so loved the world that He gave. We just thank Thee, our God and Father, that we're still in the day of grace and that we still are promised now. Behold, now is the accepted time and now is the day of salvation. We just pray that there would be a work in anyone's heart in this room that's been convicted by Thy Spirit. We just pray that that striving of the Spirit of God, they would not say no to that. Just pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.